Hello once again, Miner fans. Welcome and thanks for listening to another Picks Up podcast exploring the sports stories, issues, and personalities associated with UTEP athletics. I'm John Teicher. Hopefully you, your family, and friends continue to be healthy and productive. Thanks to all of our healthcare professionals, first responders, and to all on the front line whose efforts are so significant and much appreciated. The way we do nearly everything has changed over the last several months, and intercollegiate athletics is striving to adapt as well. Weeks of intense step-by-step planning has allowed football, soccer, volleyball, and cross-country to begin competition in the next few weeks. The way those events and others will be consumed will also be different, at least until the coronavirus has been corralled. Orange Fever Fiesta, an annual fun-filled get-together to support and raise monies for UTEP student-athlete scholarships, similarly will have a much different look and feel to it this year. Unable to stage the event in person, UTEP Athletics has partnered with the El Paso Las Cruces CW to televise Orange Fever Fiesta on Saturday, August the 15th at 7 p.m. with KBIA.com streaming it live as well. To discuss Orange Fever Fiesta and all things pertaining to the Minor Athletic Club, we're joined by Charlie Thrash, UTEP Associate Athletics Director for Development and Assistant Director of Development for Events and Stewardship, Alex Lozano. Charlie, Alex, thanks for doing this. Orange Fever Fiesta for many years, a fundraising party for UTEP Athletics, and you've had to pivot for sure in putting it together this time around.
Yeah, John, thank you very much for the kind introduction, and we appreciate Alex and I know appreciate being on here. Just to give a little background on, you know, Orange Fever Fiesta, like you said, many years. This has been a staple for Minor Athletic Club fans and donors. And, you know, we were originally scheduled to have Orange Fever Fiesta at the end of May. It was going to be at the El Paso Zoo, which was a new location. We were really excited about it moving forward, in a positive manner. And then, like everything, back in March when COVID really became kind of a serious aspect in life, we had to pivot. So Alex, as well as our team, we kind of started to put our minds together and research maybe a little bit what some other schools were doing, but also what were some things that we could do that really, you know, might be a little bit different and enhance the program. And that's when it was actually South Dakota State. They did an online auction, and they kind of capped it off with a live Facebook Live. Well, we have that wonderful partnership with KVIA ABC here in El Paso. We said, well, what if we can take it a step further, get those, ask if they would be willing to help. And they've been nothing but great, great partners for us. We're going to have Nate Ryan and Adrian Ochoa be our MCs for the evening. We're really excited about the auction being August 15th, and I think we have some lofty goals for the night. But I think more than anything, I think Minor fans will be excited to get back in the loop with what we're doing. You know, spend a Saturday night with us and really celebrate our Minor student athletes and also our university.
Alex, as I mentioned at the top, Orange Fever Fiesta has always kind of had the party vibe to it in the past. Without the ability to hold it face-to-face this year, how will you try to maintain the fun factor?
First of all, I want to say thank you so much for having me on your podcast. This is exciting, and what an honor to be able to speak to the voice of the Miners. I just want to make sure that's noted there. So thank you for having me. But to answer your question, you know, of course we want to maintain that fun-filled night. Usually when we do have it in person, you're able to dance the night away, mingle with coaches, student athletes. You know, it's a really fun night. Since unfortunately, you know, due to COVID, we had to cancel that event. And as Charlie mentioned, we are very lucky to have that partnership with KVIA. And just so everyone's aware, they will be streaming it as well online at KVIA.com as well. So in case you don't have the El Paso Las Cruces CW, you can always go online at KVIA.com to watch it there as well. But, you know, that night we will be having coaches on air as well as student athletes. So football head coach Dana Dimmel, UTEP men's basketball head coach, Terry, and we all know he's amazing. He's really fun. He's a great person to talk to, as well as our women's volleyball coach, Ben Wallace, is also going to be there as well, and some student athletes. So it'll still be fun, you know, getting to be able to joke around with them that night and really hear their stories. That's what we're there for, is to raise funds for these student athletes here at UTEP at home who are representing the university and just trying to get a degree.
One positive for sure, I think, guys, to Orange Fever Fiesta this year. In the past, one had to have a ticket to attend. Charlie, this year, everyone can attend.
Yeah, I mean, how unique in the fact that, you know, normally you had to live in the El Paso Metroplex to be able to come to this event, whereas we know that minor alumni, you know, are span the globe, you know, Australia, Japan, Europe, anybody can tune in. KVIA, their website, they can stream in. And I think that will be a very unique aspect. And we're definitely, you know, coming into the final stretches from a marketing aspect. And we really want to look at those lists of individuals, you know, who are around the country, around the world that maybe we haven't been able to have touch points with, but really it's an invite to all for this event.
Yeah, that's what I think is really the exciting part of this thing. Alex, let's dig in a little bit deeper. What's the format for the evening? What will Orange Fever Fiesta look like on Saturday, August 15th?
So as I mentioned, it'll be a fun night with a bunch of different coaches, student athletes. We will hear from our athletic director, Jim Center, as well as our UTEP president, Heather Wilson. You know, it is her. She's been here at UTEP for a year now, so that will kind of be exciting to hear, you know, her thoughts of her first year at UTEP. You know, we're very lucky, too, that we will have Mr. John Teicher there. Not there, but virtually there for that evening as well. So it'll be a great round of just different members from the university that will be joining us that night.
And then throughout the evening, we'll be highlighting some items as well. So we'll have, I would say, you know, plus or minus around 10 items that are kind of our premier items. So throughout the hour, we'll be sprinkling in, you know, some of those some auction items that I think that our minor fans will really they'll appreciate and like.
Well, tell us about some of the items that everyone will have a chance to bid on that night.
Yeah, so I think, Alex, let's go back a little back and forth here. We got a few that we wanted to highlight. We do have some surprise items that you know, we'll be bringing to the table throughout the week. But we did want to highlight about 10 items here. So when we were looking at items, you know, normally with our auction, we've typically had some really good sport experiences, Dallas Cowboys tickets. You know, we were able to get some Las Vegas Raiders tickets as well. It is kind of an uncertain timeline in regards to that aspect. So we wanted to get creative. And as you know, you probably know, John, the sport of golf is booming right now, just being outside, social distancing. So we were able to get quite a few different golf packages. You know, Painted Dunes here in town helped us out with a couple of foursomes. You know, Red Hawk up in New Mexico, Las Cruces, which is just is a phenomenal course. Definitely one of my favorite courses I've ever played. It overlooks the Oregon Mountains. It's definitely a good bang for the buck as well. They donated a foursome. Coach Lieberworth is going to take three individuals out at El Paso Country Club. I know I haven't had the lucky enough chance to play with him, but I've heard he's quite the golfer, as would be expected of your head men's golf coach. Coronado Country Club, they actually donated some rounds of golf as well as a brunch attached to it. So you can do kind of a two for one that day. And then another famous golf course, the Lodge up in Cloudcroft, which I think at one point was the highest, it was the highest elevation golf course in the country. I don't think it is anymore. But if you want to be able to, you know, say you're not a long hitter, go up to Cloudcroft and you'll feel like a pro when you're hitting it 270, 280, 300 plus. So a few other actually golf packages that we're working on, that I think will be, really premier, but it's a little too early to talk about those. So, Alex, what do you got?
We have a really cool drive-by package since a lot of people are now doing, you know, drive-by birthday parties, drive-by gender reveal, baby showers. There's been quite a bit of different ones. We have a really neat one that includes a gift certificate from Card My Yard, a $200 gift card for El Paso Balloons to do a really neat design. We are lucky enough too to have Pater Pete at your drive-by for 30 minutes, you know, waving at your guests too, which is also, I think, pretty exciting.
That getting creative. Included.
We're trying to get creative here. So, and we have some unique stuff here too for athletics. You know, we got a 15-minute Zoom call with men's basketball team or women's basketball players there, which is unique, fun, you know, with kids, some kids going to school virtually. I think it would be really nice to be able to help the teacher out, give them a little break by, you know, having a 15-minute Zoom call with their classmates and the men's basketball team. I mean, it would just be really unique, different, a fun way to be able to help break up that classroom lesson, if you will. And, you know, we're lucky enough to have some of our coaches, volleyball, softball, tennis, soccer, they are willing to run your practice for a day. I mean, how neat is that? Given NCAA compliance rules, of course, they have to comply with. But I think that was, you know, really exciting and unique.
One of a kind type things that you can't get anywhere else.
Exactly.
Going a little further, First Sergeant retired David Aguilera, he's a donor up in Las Cruces. He makes custom grills. They're extremely unique. They're kind of a Descada like setup. They're pretty heavy. They're very durable. Custom paint, high heat paint, all of that. He donated one of his custom grills in UTEP colors. You know, the blue and the orange. With some, you know, some decals. He also donated some additional tailgate, a canopy, some flags, all of that stuff. So, you know, once we are able to get the tailgate aspect going, it's going to be a great package for any individual who, you know, doesn't necessarily have all of their tailgate materials. This auction item will be a one-stop shop to you'll look like a tailgate pro right after that.
Boy, who wouldn't like that in the El Paso Southwest? That's for sure.
Exactly.
As I understand it, fans are going to have the opportunity to see some of the auction items in advance.
Yes, sir. So starting August 10th, which is this upcoming Monday, we will be going live with our website so that way you can, begin to look at the items, browse some of the items. And if you wanted to, you can even start bidding. So, if there's a bidding war, make sure you're checking back throughout the week. If you want that item and somebody outbids you, you know, you still have a chance to bid. And this will open up August 10th and it will close after our program, which is Saturday, August 15th. And it will close at 8:30 p.m. So just so that way everyone's aware, but you can go to minorathleticclub.com and under our events for Orange River Fiesta, you will be able to find the link there to be able to bid, but we'll also make sure it's posted on social media.
Okay. And that was going to be in my next question, how the bidding on these items is going to be conducted. So it should be accessible and pretty easy, Alex, for everyone.
Absolutely. Yes, sir. And the great thing about it too is, you know, sometimes you have all these great packages, but maybe some of them aren't for you or just not, you know, wanting to get away this year. So what you can do too is do a general donation towards these student athletes. So if you wanted to just donate, you know, anywhere from $25 to, we're not stopping you. You know, if you're feeling extra loving that night, $5,000, we will gladly take it. But you can donate, make a general donation if you wanted to as well. And again, this is every proceed that we're raising that night goes strictly to our student athletes.
Well, that's what makes this event one of the most important events that UTEP has each and every year. The proceeds going to offset student athlete scholarships. And Charlie, with the challenges posed by the pandemic this year and the fact that there's certainly no COVID discount for the cost of those student athlete scholarships, the goal is to raise more than ever before.
Yep. You're right. I mean, we, we did set a high number, north of 200,000 as a goal for this. I think one of the things that will definitely help is we don't have as many startup expenses, just from an event standpoint. Going virtual definitely does have its fair share of savings from that aspect. But, we're going to be reaching out to the El Paso community. And, there's a lot of different entities in town that have definitely been affected by COVID. And, UTEP Athletics has been affected as well. And that's what, more than anything, what we're trying to share is, we're kind of a pillar of hope to a certain degree. And, we're something the community can really rally behind. And, that night, there's no doubt that we need the El Paso community to rally around us, rally around the university. And, like anything, we'll get through it. But it's always better to get through things when you have the backing of the community with you.
Alex, again, how can Miner fans get more information on Orange Fever Fiesta?
So Miner fans, you guys can visit minerathleticclub.com. And through the events tab, you would be able to find Orange Fever Fiesta. And there we have everything listed as far as where the proceeds go, the link to be able to bid, where to tune in that night for the program, what channels you can tune into. Any information, you can find it on minerathleticclub.com. We'll also be posting on social media next week, just, giving everyone the link to bid. KVIA.com as well to be able to watch the program. I do want to just say, I would hope people realize some of these kids, they wouldn't have a college degree if it wasn't for the scholarship. And they realize that and they're thankful for that. We have one of the student athletes who will be joining us that night who is going to be the first of eight in his family to graduate. The first of eight, and he does have older siblings, and he realized how lucky he is. And, if he didn't have the scholarship, he probably wouldn't be one of the eight that would get a college degree. Another student athlete mentioned, there's no way I would have a degree. My family can't afford it. There's no way I can afford it. Those loans, they add up. And so he also realizes how lucky he is as well. And some of these kids, they graduate with a degree in kinesiology and biology. I mean, they're working hard off and on the court.
Well, there's stories similar to that up and down UTEP athletics. And again, everybody can take part Saturday, August 15th, 7:00, the El Paso Las Cruces CW, and also online, KBIA.com. Fans hear us talk about the Miner Athletic Club all the time. Charlie, what is the Miner Athletic Club? What's its purpose? What's its mission?
It's a great question, John. And really, the Miner Athletic Club, some short is, we're the fundraising arm of UTEP Athletics. We fundraise for a variety of endeavors. Our main focus is on the $7 million scholarship bill, which is, as we mentioned, Orange Fever Fiesta helps us offset that. But we have a variety of other projects as well. Right now we're currently renovating the Sun Bowl. A majority of the dollars that went into that project were philanthropic dollars. As you saw the other day, Cliff and Martha Eisenberg, they made a philanthropic donation to help us renovate our ticket office and named our ticket office the Eisenberg Family Ticket Office. So capital campaigns is definitely a focus of ours as well. And Nick Popowell, our esteemed leader, he always thought, I've heard him always say, if you got to continually be improving from a construction standpoint somewhere on a year-to-year basis. And that's what we look at from a competitive standpoint, from a student athlete experience standpoint. What can we do to improve the experience for those individuals, but also our donors as well, who spend a lot of time with us? The Sun Bowl renovation project will help us from a recruiting standpoint, I think, but also from a fan experience standpoint. So we're constantly thinking of, how can we help, the fan experience, the student athlete experience. And then we also raise money for scholarship endowments, as well as we do planned gifts as well. So really, more than anything, we're here to, you have your revenue sources that you get on a year-to-year basis that are kind of fixed. Well, we're the ones that try to increase our, you know, our budget, you know, which definitely helps us out from a competitive standpoint.
Charlie, I think sometimes people hear the word club and it scares them a little bit. They think that, oh, that's got to be some kind of an exclusive type group. And I think this is a very important point. The Minor Athletic Club is not an exclusive group. Anyone, and I mean anyone, can be a member.
Yeah, no, I mean, we have student athletes that are members. We have, you know, we have businesses that are members. It, like you said, John, anybody can be a member. You know, from I think it's $4.97 a month gets you a minimum membership of $50. And you're in the loop on exactly what, you know, what we're doing on a month-to-month basis. There's many benefits that individuals get by being an annual fund donor. And that's the biggest thing we ask, is not so much, you know, because a lot of times donating is relative, you know, so a lot of, you know, people can afford, if you're really passionate about it, there, you know, $50 a year does go a long way, especially when you're compounding that $50, when you get many, you know, many people doing those $50 donations, it definitely adds up. And we have different membership levels. You know, the higher the membership level, the more benefits you're going to get. But at the end of the day, you know, Alex, myself, you know, the staff that we have, which is great. You know, we really focus on making sure that, you know, we treat everybody with great respect and tell them how much we appreciate their support and what they're doing with us. And then we look at our benefits chart and we steward based off of those levels. But like going back to what you said, anybody can be a part.
Well, and El Paso is a community of what, 800,000 people. Just think if a large majority of our population just made the minimum donation, and what a difference that would make.
Exactly. And, you know, and I think that's what we're working towards, I think, on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, they always say Rome wasn't built in a day. And I think what we're working, the message that I always try to portray is, you know, we're a community-centric athletic program. And the fact that, you know, we really do need the community to support us. And it has so many tangible effects, you know, from Kern Place all the way to downtown. When UTEP Athletics is rolling, like we've seen in football and basketball over the years, the town's rolling. It's kind of a community effect. And I mean, there's scientific studies that, you know, PhDs have correlated in regards to fundraising dollars and success. And that's what we're really, really trying to strive for.
Does the Minor Athletic Club take donations in kind?
Yeah, absolutely. And we do have a lot of businesses that do gift in kind, you know, whether it's cleaning materials, you know, we've had individuals donate, you know, if we're doing a project, construction labor and, you know, and materials from that aspect. What other gift in kind examples do we have, Alex?
We've had restaurants. We are lucky enough to have gift cards and different locations willing to help us out with food when we have to get items catered or get our player. I know sometimes some of our teams here, you know, our student athletes need to eat. Believe it or not, we do feed them.
that's the biggest thing is, you know, we can usually tailor support somehow, some way. It's definitely, you know, if somebody, you know, wants to help out, we can usually figure out a way to benefit not only themselves, but, you know, also our athletic department and the student athletes involved.
And one thing that I really like, too, is the fact that there are clubs within the Minor Athletic Club. So if a fan has an interest in a particular sport, there are clubs basically available within each individual sport that a particular fan, if they have that particular sport interest, can be a part of the Minor Athletic Club with.
Oh, absolutely. And we have, you know, I've seen some donors that are just fans that are just at softball games, or, you know, or they only come to basketball games. you know, obviously we definitely appreciate the support from the general annual fund that goes to support scholarships. But at the same time, sometimes those individuals get to know the head coaches and they want to help out from a more of an operational, tangible side. And we do have those clubs, the Round Ball Club. We have the Diamond Club with softball, the Ace Club with volleyball. And I think, you know, those have definitely done really well. And I think our coaches enjoy having them as well, because, you know, some schools don't do them, to be quite honest, just because, you know, it is a lot. But at the same time, I think it's important for our coaches to be able to have access and something to give to their supporters. And we're definitely happy to do so.
We're going to talk more a little bit in just a few moments about the renovations to the Sun Bowl. But in basketball, I think there are some fans, Charlie, this year that are going to be able to have a new experience in the Don Haskins Center when they come to watch minor basketball games.
Yeah, absolutely. Our courtside club is which will be located in the truck tunnel. It'll be a pregame and halftime hospitality area for our donors that give $5,000 or more to our annual fund. We're definitely looking to eventually be able to put some, get a donor to step up and help us renovate that area. But it's going to be really cool. Alex has done some general site work just to make sure that it's going to be a intimate area. And it's what a great location right there, courtside. In the past, we've done our pregame meals for individuals that gave to our Circle of Champions is what we called it, over in the Foster Stevens. And what we wanted to do was get those individuals closer to the action so that, you know, they can come in, you know, have dinner, go enjoy the game from their seats, and then at halftime we'll still have beverages and desserts, so people can come back in, get a quick bite to eat, you know, maybe if there's another basketball game on, catch a bit of that, and then go back in. So we definitely wanted to provide another hospitality option for basketball for some of our best, most ardent supporters, and I think it'll definitely be a great addition this upcoming year.
Charlie, you touched on the minor athletic club staff. Obviously, there's you and Alex, but also Genevieve Gomez, Mark Slack, and Amy Stell that join you to serve minor athletic club members. And that's another, I think, benefit of the minor athletic club is that all of these individuals can help enhance minor athletic club members and their enjoyment of UTEP athletics.
Yeah, and we all have, different roles. Kind of within from a development standpoint, but we are definitely lucky to have, you know, the staff that we do. I like to think we're all go-getters. You know, we don't the COVID's kind of been killing us, because we like to get out of the office. We like to meet people in person, and really hear the stories that a lot of our fans or former student athletes have. We've had to get creative from that standpoint, a lot more Zoom meetings, you know, which is great. We've been able to, have some Zoom meetings with individuals all over the country. You look back 7 months ago, Zoom and Microsoft Teams wasn't nearly as common, whereas now almost everybody's comfortable to a certain degree with it. So our staff, you know, they work really hard. They've worked really hard on the Orange Fever Fiesta to get the items that they've been getting. And we're very lucky to have the staff that we do.
All right. Let's talk about the new indoor and outdoor club seating and the lounge box seating in the Sun Bowl, which of course has been closed basically since the Sun Bowl game concluded last New Year's Eve, and it's been a construction zone. The club seats are in, and they're absolutely beautiful, and you can see the loge box areas from the Larry K. Durham Center. There's scaffolding in front of the captain's club and the press box. Charlie, talk about the new indoor and outdoor club seating and the new Loge Box seating in the Sun Bowl. And before we went on, I was mentioning that I really believe that this is going to prove to be the best thing that UTEP has done for its football fans in particular since the Sun Bowl opened back in 1963.
Yeah, this, John, this is an awesome project, and I'm very thankful for all the hard work that had been put in to get this project going. I know it's been years and years in the making, and it is awesome. It's an amazing project. You know, I'm just excited for our fans to see it. I think once our fans are able to get in and actually see the hospitality areas that are in there, it's going to be a rocking area of the stadium. To be quite honest, the bar is, you know, one of the biggest bars you'll ever see. It's completely 360 degrees. It has 8 large screen TVs. You'll be able to get multiple different type of beverage options. You know, you'll be able to get food at the bar. It completely, you know, overlooks the whole entire stadium. The GECU Terrace is right next to it. Has a great look of, you know, the Franklin Mountains as well as the stadium. You know, just going into some of the hospitality options that we have, we do have we have 26 loges, which we've sold quite a bit of those. Right now we've sold 22 of the 26 loges. We've got 104 indoor seats, which we're at a little bit over, I think just under 60% capacity. And then we have 500 outdoor club seats in section 4, 5, and 6. Those seats, definitely sales haven't been as fast. We've definitely, when COVID hit, we've had to have a lot of conversations with individuals of why it's important to invest in this project. But I'm confident once people come into the stadium and they see the area, they're going to want to know, okay, how do I get up there? Because it really will be like you said, quite the fan experience and quite the project.
I'll have you know that I've been lobbying to move my broadcast location to the outside bar underneath the press box in the Captain's Club. Talk about the Hunt Family Sky Lounge and how it will be different from fans that have been in the Captain's Club remember.
Yeah, you know, it's funny when you just said that. We've been taking individuals to see it, the project, on a daily basis, and we were in the Hunt Family Sky Lounge just the other day, and I had an individual go, "Do you think we could move John Teicher up here, right in the middle, instead of him being the level down below? We could have him right here. We could just listen to him." John, I think you'd probably be okay with that, right?
Yeah, and I think payment to that individual is due now. Yeah,
yeah, but the Hunt Family Sky Lounge—it's definitely different compared to what it was before. Before we had 4 rows, and if you've been up there, it was pretty tight. The 4 rows went back basically almost back to the beams against the wall, whereas now we only have 2 rows. And the 2 rows don't obviously take up nearly as much space. And so there's a lot more room for pregame event functions, hospitality areas. There'll be much more TVs. I don't have the exact number of TVs that'll be up there, but there'll be many more. There'll be 2 bars on either side. And then we'll also have 4 suites up there, which we've never had. We've never had 4 personal suites, which we do have in the Captain's Club now, which those definitely will be amazing, an amazing way to watch the game, as they say.
Charlie, if fans are interested in the new indoor and outdoor club seating or the Loge Box seating in the Sun Bowl, how can they get a hold of you?
I would just recommend reaching out to the Minor Athletic Club. Our website, minorathleticclub.com, has all our contact information. MAC@utep.edu is our email address. Let's see. Phone number is 919. Alex, what's the phone number? 915-747-8759. I have that memorized. I was put on the spot there, though.
You know, Charlie, you touched on this a little bit earlier. For many years, Miner fans have purchased their season tickets in the Brumbelow building and their individual game tickets at the UTEP Ticket Center, but an exciting development moving forward. All UTEP athletic tickets now are going to be available at the new Eisenberg Family Ticket Office at the renovated Brumbelow Building right next to the Haskins Center on Glory Road.
Correct. We were definitely very fortunate to have the Eisenberg family step up and help us out with this project. As UTEP Nation probably saw within the last few weeks, we did partner with the leading, outsourced ticket company in the country, the Aspire Group. And that's something that we looked at as how do we really increase our customer service? I think from what I've heard, the El Paso Chihuahuas do a really good job at that here in town, of having their own customer service representative, all of that stuff. We'll be doing that moving forward. And one of the things we wanted to do was just simplify athletics, kind of have a one-stop shop in regards to where you go for your single game tickets, your season tickets, and to be able to market those packages within one area. But then at the same time, the Minor Athletic Club definitely works hand in hand with that group. The ticket office is definitely kind of the front porch of the athletic department in regards to figuring out who are the individuals who have a passion and interest in athletics. And then that's where the Minor Athletic Club comes in and says, hey, I'd love to sit down with you for coffee and really get to know you. And if there is passion for what we're doing, that's where kind of we're able to be the broker of that passion. But going back to the ticket office, I think it'll just create a really good synergy with what we have between all of our different programs and then the Minor Athletic Club as well.
Another exciting development this year, and this is definitely a sign of the times, mobile ticketing is going to be brand new to minor fans this season. Charlie, describe to us how that's going to work.
Well, when we were analyzing kind of how the year would, back in June, May, how the year would kind of lay out, which I think obviously we knew we'd have to have a lot of flexibility with games and game times and fans. And really the only way to do that, John, is through mobile ticketing. It gives you so much flexibility in regards to getting real-time data. if we do have to change a game, we can literally go onto our ticket system, change the game up. It'll be on the individual's account manager, and they'll be able to go on and see that change. Whereas in the past, when you utilized paper tickets, if you mailed out 5,000 season tickets and you had a game time, you'd be mailing out 5,000 season tickets again. So from that aspect, it's just from a technological aspect, it's definitely, I think, where we need to be. We understand that not every individual has a smartphone. So I recommend calling our ticket office. We do have some options there. But the biggest thing we just needed now was flexibility. Ticketmaster's a great partner of ours. And they've been definitely really good at helping us during this time. But it's an option that we pay for, so we might as well use. And then the other thing with mobile ticketing is you can easily just go onto your online account, and instead of driving to your grandparents' house or your buddy's house to give them their tickets and parking passes for the game, you can simply go on your phone. It's a three-button process. Shoot them an email, they have it. There's none of that interchange, which will be extremely beneficial, I think, as well.
And of course, it's a lot more difficult to lose mobile tickets than it is those paper tickets. That's another advantage of mobile
tickets.
Yeah,
I mean, I would say you deal with I worked as a ticket manager for many years before I got into the development side, and a lot of people that come up to the box office on game day brought the wrong tickets, so you're reprinting them. If there's one thing for sure, you notice when your iPhone is not in your pocket, and pretty quickly as you're leaving the house. So that's something I don't think we'll necessarily have to deal with, or work with customers nearly as much.
Parking, and Charlie, you know this, there's probably nothing among sports fans that's discussed more than athletic event parking. I know that you and your staff have done a lot of work on parking for UTEP football and basketball in particular during the off season. You've totally revamped the whole thing. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, I think looking back, when I started here in September this past year, and one of the things we wanted to look at was how could we be more customer centric with our parking model to give our donors and our fans the best opportunity to get the lots that they want. So I've worked at a variety of different schools that have done a model like this, but we also wanted to do more research and look at how a lot of schools at our level and above do their parking. So we did create a donor-centric model where you have to be a donor at a certain level in order to get parking in a certain lot. and by donor-centric, that's kind of your annual fund donor level is how it's calculated. So by that, I mean, if you have football or basketball season ticket in a preferred seating area, if you make a philanthropic contribution to the annual fund, all those monies add up to your donor level. And then from there, the customer can decide what lot they want. So if they, I'm just looking at a parking map right here. SB7 for basketball is a $500 donor lot. So as long as you're a $500 plus donor, you would qualify for that lot and you could choose it. My understanding in the past was the minor athletic club, our department kind of, to a certain degree, assigned parking. Whereas now, we just wanted to give our customers a chance to look at the map, decide what worked best for them, and then they would be able to pick it from there. And then going and taking it a step further, we've now allowed customers to buy multiple passes. So first pass is complimentary, just like in years past. But now customers can, if it's a business and they have six tickets and they know it's always going to be two different families or two separated by two families, they can buy three passes if they want, if that's what works best for them. They would just have to meet the corresponding donor level and then pay for the two additional passes. So that's the biggest thing is that I think we're trying to do from a minor athletic club perspective is create flexibility while also being able to, be able to generate revenue that goes right back into our student athlete scholarship fund, which is we've talked about in many details in this conversation of the importance of that.
Alex, we've covered quite a bit of ground today. What have we missed? Is there anything we missed?
Well, normally Alex is playing a number of incredible events throughout the year. Obviously, we've had to switch that up quite a bit during the circumstances, but that's another aspect that Alex does an incredible job is just getting people together, because that's what we want to do. We celebrate our student athletes. We want to get people together, and Alex normally this time of year is planning, exactly what our fall and winter event schedule would look like.
Again, what are the ways that minor fans can connect with the minor athletic club?
I do want to just say, they are able to connect, and everything that has been mentioned today, you can find all that information on our minorathleticclub.com website. There you can find, under programs and initiatives, all the individual sport clubs that we have. You can hear student athlete stories along with donor stories under our donor impact. What your gift is doing at work currently, what our mission statement is, as Charlie mentioned, your account that you're able to log into, any information on football and men's basketball parking or seating, our events, and any other information that you want to find, you can find it on minorathleticclub.com or keep up with us on social media. We do have our UTEP Athletics, but we also have a Minor Athletic Club social media page for both Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
And I want to make sure that everyone doesn't forget that all are invited for Orange Fever Fiestas. We raise money for UTEP student athlete scholarships Saturday, August 15th, beginning at 7 o'clock on the El Paso Las Cruces CW, also online on KBIA.com. And again, Alex, starting this Monday, August the 10th, fans can see all the auction items that will be up for bid.
That is correct. And get excited, miners, because there are really, really cool, fun, unique items that will be available to start bidding on this upcoming Monday. And again, it will close August 15th at 8:30 p.m. So just keep that in mind. If you do have a bidding war with somebody, you know, I know Coach Terry gets competitive and he had a bidding war last year with somebody.
That can get pretty fierce, no question about it. Charlie, Alex, thank you for all the helpful information, and hopefully we'll enjoy over-the-top participation and have an enjoyable time with this year's Orange Fever Fiesta.
Thanks, John. Thanks for having us. We appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the Picks Up Podcast, the UTEP Athletics production. Stay well, Picks Up, and go Miners. Let's talk again next time on another Picks Up Podcast.